First Corinthians 15, chapter 40, I mean, verse 47.
Right.
15:47.
The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be transfigured. The word change there is not the word change like I'm going to put on a change of clothes. It's metamorpho, which means transfigured. We shall all be transfigured.
What's this, though? We shall not all sleep.
We shall not all die. Paul expected, when he wrote this letter, that in his lifetime would be the transfiguration, would be the end of time. He expected it would be. I know it will be. Now, I know it will be for 1,000 reasons, which you've heard me detail. Some of them by revelation, some of them by perception of the senses. But that moment in time could exist in the next 30 days. That in one moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we will be transfigured. Everything in time and space will be destroyed. And I'm not kidding. I know with a certainty, with everything in me, that it'll be within our lifetime. Now, that's the reason I'm such a bastard, by your perception. Because I won't tolerate anything that will inhibit that process. I don't care about anything else. Now, assuming for a moment that there's a viable possibility that the end will come in 30 days, then I ask you, give me your problems. Tell me about your problems. Tell me about your little shit. Give me a reason for you not being in perfect peace, in perfect rest, in perfect joy. Now you have to face a viable possibility that I am absolutely crazy or I'm right. There's no in between. Either I am totally and completely bonkers, or I'm right. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, i.e. die, but we shall all be transfigured. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The last trump, the only time trumpet is used forever and ever throughout the scriptures, is on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. The essential feature of the Feast of Rosh Hashanah is the blowing of the trumpet or the blowing of the ram's horn. In my own mind, I am convinced we don't know the day or the hour. Because, and the part of the process is that we don't really know because of the accuracy of, it's like, do you know that there's, even if Judaism existed, I mean, even if there are really genetic Jews, there is no Jew alive that can trace the genetic history. And because they cannot trace their genetic history, then the prophecies with regard to Messiah can never be proven. Therefore, they're hoping in vain for Messiah. Did you know that in AD 70, when Titus destroyed the temple, that in the temple were the genetic records of every Jew born since Abraham? Because in order that there would be proof texts with regard to who Messiah was, with regard to the ancient prophecies, they had to be able to prove his genetic history by the records that were extant in the temple. They can't do it. There's not a Jew alive since AD 70 that could prove his genetic history. Therefore, there's not a Jew alive that can claim Messiahship. And never will be. Now, by the same token, because of the vagaries of the calendar, there's no way to prove the exact day of when a particular feast is. I can tell you that I believe that the last trump will sound on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. But I can't prove to you when that feast is on a particular day. But I can almost with 100% guarantee tell you that this time of every year should be for you the most exciting time of the year, because we can know within a framework when the last trump shall sound. I can tell you within a 30-day window when the last trump shall sound, and we're in that window right now. And unless you begin to experience the anticipation of that singular event, the reason that time and space were created, you will be deceived in your day-to-day activities, and your mind will always deceive you. And I'm tired of your mind deceiving you. I'm tired of you playing these stupid little games of the Gentile world. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be transfigured. That's what I've kept telling you about. God, by His Spirit, is slowly but surely pulling us in direct opposition to gravity. But you're the one that has to cut the cart rope that's tying you to the world. God isn't going to cut it. Now, believe it or not, and whether you can accept this or not, you'll think this is the most arrogant thing I've ever said. The only reason the cart rope hasn't been disconnected in me is because of you. You're who's holding me from the transfiguration. And therefore, my only purpose in life is to cause you, by revelation, to see the necessity and the ridiculousness of those rotten ropes that are tying you to the earth. That's what preaching is. Nothing else matters. And until you have that singleness, that singular eye, if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is double, even the light that is in you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? You think I'm a bastard? You haven't seen nothing. You think I'm intolerant? You haven't seen anything yet. For this is our only goal. our only purpose, our only function, our only reason for existence. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Now, I'm convinced that Paul was talking about a particular sting. It's right here on the star map. The sting of death is from this being, this massive scorpion in the field of Scorpio. His stinger, the brightest star in that stinger, as we said the other night, means the perverse, the ultimate enemy, the malignant enemy, the perverse. The sting of death is sin, unbelief. The strength of unbelief, or the strength of sin, is the law. Not just the law here, but the law with regard to meaning the way a thing works. We are of those people by whom we are operating in an environment in which slowly but surely every law of nature and every law of life is losing our hold. Now, some of you are tied to the law of cause and effect. Some of you are still tied to the law of reward and punishment. But mercy is what breaks those laws. Grace is what destroys. Remember the god Bel in Babylon, the god of cause and effect? It was, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide.
Man to build a base.
He could not stand up by his own weight, because the law wouldn't let it happen. You understand?
Yeah.
And so in order to cause the bell, the law cause and effect, to stand, they took the gold that they had taken from the temple when they sacked Jerusalem to build the base to cause the temple to stand. I mean the bell to stand. All you have to do is put, and all we have to do, in one sense all the preaching is for us to put that artifacts, those gold, back in the temple where it belongs, and automatically that false god, Bel, will fall. And the word sting here is the heat, is the Greek word kentron, K-E-N-T-R-O-N. It just means a sting. But it also has another meaning, interesting meaning. Go to Acts 9. Well, let's wait a minute. Let me just finish that little chapter. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And the work of the Lord doesn't mean being an evangelist. The work of the Lord means walking with him in his temptation, never leaning on your own arm of understanding, not worshiping the things the Gentiles worship. That's the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is to believe on Him who He has sent. 100%. You'll die unless it's true. That's the work of the Lord. That's what you're to always abound in. And therein you're steadfast, unmovable. Hormones can't affect you. Poverty can't affect you. Riches can't affect you. People's opinion of you can't affect you. Your mind can't affect you. But you're always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast, firmly anchored, unmovable. Sting. As we know that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but we also know a mystery. And the mystery is that sting can only hurt flesh and blood. Okay, now go to Acts 26. 26. Acts 26. Paul is testifying of his conversion. In verse 12, he's just gotten through saying, he's before Agrippa, and he's just talking about how he persecuted and killed and stoned believers, people of the way. Then he was commissioned by the Sanhedrin to go to Damascus and to imprison. There was a church that had formed, or more rightly stated, a synagogue in Damascus, or a number of synagogues in Damascus, had become believers. They were in the synagogue, but they were people of the way. And it was a danger to the Jewish control. So they sent Paul with a group of people with the authority to imprison people of the way. Interestingly enough, I spent the night, allegedly, 100 yards from where Paul had this conversion when I was in Damascus. But anyway. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen. And the only thing he'd seen was Jesus, because everything else was blinded out. You understand that? Mm-hmm. At that time, that was who he was supposed to be a witness of. And of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. And everything. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, that was Paul's commission. The word, it is hard, it means it is difficult for thee to resist the sting. The word divine, the word pricks there is the word kentron, which means the sting.
It's hard for you to resist this.
The sting.
Automatic dying?
The sting.
Real dying?
The sting. So technically, it's also a word in the Greek which meant, the way it's translated, we'll never know for sure, but it's also a word which means the divine impulse. So the same word is translated in the scripture that means divine impulse or revelation. That means here, sting.
Mm-hmm. Perverse.
So what it means is that again, the evil one, the creepy crawly things have been faked out.
Experience says that's true.
Not only that, it says further, you know, you can't judge, you know, I mean, this word, it's both, it's neither, it's not.
It's the sting of the scorpion, but it also means the divine impulse. Same thing.
And that's death to your mind anyway.
It's death to flesh and blood, which flesh and blood meaning the mind. You cannot resist. How long shall you resist the divine impulse?
Harry likes this.
You got it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because each of us is experiencing
that. Yeah. Yeah. You will call, every time that scorpion hits you, you will say, oh my God, this is terrible. God, I pray that the scorpion won't get me. By your senses, you will call it perverse and evil. And God calls it the divine impulse. It's the sting of death. But to us, the sting of death is victory. No one in the universe will understand us.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's look at some other stuff. That's enough for sting stuff. What?
Pretty good sting stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big stuff.
I clap.
Remember I told you that in the Egyptian zodiac, this is the 100-headed python.
Scorpionus?
Yeah. And we'll see in mythology that when we'll get into Hercules and these other guys, we'll see some of the mythology that all of these ancient myths say the same thing. Just like the seven-headed monster in the with the 10 crowns in the Book of Revelation. The point is that it's the idea that you think you've killed him, and then he comes back at you with something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
My point to you, unless you see what I'm about to tell you tonight. Unless you see it in its finality tonight, you may be in deep shit in the next 30 days. I'm going to say something to you that will, you've maybe heard me say in a different way, but it is so outlandish that if I in the flesh could hear myself say it, I would probably put myself away. I'd join Timberlawn. Me and Walter Raleigh. The serpent everywhere and in all ways, throughout the scriptures, throughout the zodiac, is in deadly conflict with the seed of the woman. The devil is always in conflict until the enemy is subdued and crushed. That's what all we see throughout. Go to 1 John 3. You've all heard me say this 1,000 times, but behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall see him, he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. That's pretty wild stuff. Over here a little while ago, in 1 John, he said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Here it says, if we sin, then we are of the devil, and there's truth of God is not in us. What the hell's going on? I want you to concentrate on one singular part of that scripture. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Either he has done that or he hasn't. If he has done that, then no matter what it appears to the senses, whether it's works of the flesh, whether it's works of the devil, they're destroyed. I'm not communicating.
Already destroyed.
Okay, let's go to another one. Hebrews 2. Now let's go to Luke 10.
Luke 10?
Luke 10. Jesus spoke this 2,000 years ago. And then he spoke it in the past tense in verse 18. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. If you tread on a scorpion, you're going to get bit. He predicated saying that by saying that he beheld Satan falling as lightning. In 1 John it says that for this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil and the works of the flesh are destroyed. Period. Whosoever is born of God cannot sin, for his seed remaineth in him. This is just another way of saying that your warfare is accomplished. But I don't know that you've ever understood before that all of the works of the devil have already been destroyed.
That's why we have the propensity to identify something as evil and try and quit doing it in the flesh, you know, try and stop doing something.
Is part of that you can do nothing against the truth? No matter what it looks like, the works of the devil will not be prosperous. They will not have the devil's desired end.
They are destroyed.
What work is God doing here? Now?
Only one. He's transforming you by the renewing of your mind. Now, how is your mind renewed? He has bruised or overcome the head of the serpent. It's done. It's finished. He has stepped and crushed the heart of the scorpion. It's done. It's finished. Therefore, all that we're about now is this, in time, this gradual awareness of who we are. There's no other thing going on. That is the reason that everything in the universe tonight exists. To cause you to know who you are. That's all. It's not to get you money or get you this or get you that or make you stop doing this or make you start doing that. That is all finished. It was finished before the foundation of the world in the spirit. It was finished at the cross in the flesh, and it's finished now in you.
Free indeed.
The Son shall make you free. You are free indeed. I want you to let this penetrate to the depth of your being. From now on, every time you see a lightning flash or every time you see a falling star, I want it to be a reminder to you that it's finished. That Satan has for 1,000 years chained up. I mean, it's done. He destroyed the works of the devil. Once and for all time.
Why, when you talk about the trumping of the horn, does it scare me? Why don't I look forward to it? You know, and elated at the prospect of it happening any day now. I keep thinking, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. You know, I'm still.
The same reason that no sooner did Christ come into the world than the dragon sought to devour him through Herod. No sooner did Christ and his messiahship, when it was attested by the voice from heaven, you know that God, there's only a voice from heaven only 3 times recorded in Christ's life. And this is one of them. He said, "Thou art my son." The moment that happened, what happened? The devil attacked him. Now the devil, when he took him out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, it wasn't, for once and for all, hear this. It wasn't the devil in some ugly tail and red horns. It was the mind, this mind, walking in the form of Jesus Christ. The only thing that's happening to you, vis-a-vis if why some things I say to you scare you, or why some of you are even as scared of me, is because your mind still has been given breath by you. Therefore, it has nothing to do with your sincerity. It has to do with your idolatry, in that you are worshiping your mind. And you think your mind and the things that happen in your mind and your judgments are special. And therefore you worship them. Life is very simple. It's finished. Now, let's look at something else. There's something neat here. Let's go to Matthew. What? Matthew something. I got to find it first before I can tell you where it is. Okay. Luke, I'm sorry. Go to Luke 22.
Damn. I found Matthew. Not it.
Got it.
You guys didn't say that up, you would have said.
That's right. Luke 22, what?
Verse 47.
We're at Luke
22:47.
This is where we are,
smart
ass.
Behold, while he yet spake. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far, or allow. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus sent unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders, which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.
No,
he's talking to a whole group of them.
What does that mean, though?
Suffer you this far? Don't resist.
Allow this to happen. He was saying to his, he was saying to the whole multitude, but mostly to his disciples who were going to try to fight, he says, allow this to happen.
Don't resist evil.
Have you found anything in regards to this priest? I mean, not this priest, but this servant that he healed?
No. I'm sure there's 50 jillion legends about everything, every one of these guys that they became a, you know, he became a believer, I'm sure, and if it went with the rest of them, he got kicked out and he had to go to Spain or somewhere. So, I mean,
this term of address sounds real strange. He
said, betrayest thou the Son of Man? Because that sounds real formal or official or something.
What sense? Are you going to betray me with a kiss?
Is that okay? It says King James. Son of Man. Okay, Son of King James.
But I want you to hear something. The hour, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Now the word there for hour doesn't mean a particular length of time. It means this is your moment. This is your time. Now what had just happened? He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he tasted death. He tasted agony. He tasted every one of your feelings of separation. He tasted the blackness of the God of this world. He tasted every corridor that you've walked through. He tasted every moment of your loneliness. He tasted every possible moment of your own confusion, of your own unbelief, of your desire to be different than you are. He tasted every attempt or even the thought of the attempt of you committing suicide. He tasted every contradiction of others against you. And he put them all together into a sting. And the sting was to the Son of Man, death. It was to the Son of Man the agony of sweating blood. It was to the Son of Man the agony of crucifixion. It was to the Son of Man all of the things that followed after death, which we know not of. But he says, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Now that's what this sting is about. To the Son of Man, it was the power of darkness, it was death, it was destruction, it was ultimate evil. It was everything that you could experience. Every pain, every illness. And that was what the venom was in that sting of the scorpion. But to the Son of God, it was the divine impulse.
Some just don't. This is why you said that Satan has every legal right to our minds and bodies, our souls and bodies.
Amen. You don't resist evil. And in that moment, when you no longer resist evil, when you no longer resist your own propensity to judge for yourself, when you see through it, to see that the Son of Man, to see that it's not flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Corruption cannot inherit incorruption. The moment you see that and stop in your mind resisting the divine impulse and accept it, then that thing which you've described as something odious will be transformed into life. Because all of the works of the devil have been destroyed. All of the works of the flesh have already been destroyed. Therefore, don't you understand? Most people pray to the wrong God. They're praying to the wrong thing. They make the cross of Christ of none effect by their very prayers. Am I communicating?
Amen.
Now, this was the sting and the poison of the great scorpion, which was stuck into
the Son of God,
the Son of Man.
It was the sign,
the seed of the serpent had bruised the heel of the seed of woman. But in the process, you can't separate that clause. In the process of that taking place, the seed of woman has overcome the head of the serpent. That's what you don't believe. Now, that's my only job, is to cause you to believe that. I don't care if I scare you into it. I don't care if you're scared of me into it. Because that's the only vocation that I have. It's the only avocation I have. To convince you that within 30 days, the last trump might sound. And then, tell me what you... Within 5 minutes, the last trump might sound. Now tell me what you're concerned about. Oh, I'm not ready. Well, you're never going to be ready, dummy.
It's like you're having children.
Matt,
my job, you see, you always confuse your job with my job. My job is to tell you you're ready. Doesn't matter whether you think you are or not. That's right. And you're ready, why? For one singular reason. Because Jesus Christ is your life. The mystery that's been hid from all generations, from all times, still is hid. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. The mind. Don't give me any mind bullshit. I'll eat your lunch. Yeah, it was Matt and Lee.
The rest of us are saved.
The rest of us are spiritual giants.
Let's think about that scripture that just... their minds are blinded by the God of this world. I thought, so what's the difference between me and them? I mean, it's just God...
Nothing.
No.
Mercy. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. God don't want it shining unto them. Thems are the sons of men. Flesh and blood can inherit the kingdom. All these dorks running around saying, praise God, my name is written in the book of life. Well, they're in for the biggest shock of their whole universe.
Surprise! The party's not for you.
Surprise, you're not even in it. It's over.
The party's over.
There's a perverse part of me.
Well, so does he.
Yeah.
It says, remember, Isaiah had a perverse part too. Isaiah said the same thing.
It's a formal party and you don't have a black tie. The
problem is they have a black tie on. And a black, well, anyway. For we preach not ourselves. You understand what it means not to preach yourself?
You don't preach only.
And well, no, not just that. I don't preach you. No, it's more than that. I don't preach anything about yourself. I don't give a fuck what you do. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And the only time I preach myself is if I preach myself as your servant. Now, whether or not I'm a good servant, that's God to judge, not you. I just want to clear that up right off the bat. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and never of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the physical body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. And knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And for which cause we faint not, and though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, eternal. Now, I want to just mention one thing that I talked about last night. Go to 1 John 5.
What were you just reading from?
2 Corinthians 4. First John chapter 5. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. The water there that's being talked about, and unfortunately you'll never hear this anywhere else, is the water from the ashes of the red heifer. It's the water of purification. Blood has destroyed you, has destroyed any guilt from any past. Your past, your sin is forgiven as far as the east is from the west because of the blood of Christ. The Spirit has destroyed any concern for the future, because he is that which is all in control of the future. And the water has destroyed any concern for now, that you should be different than you are. And those three must all agree in one for sanctification to be manifested. Otherwise, you're denying. It's as though you denied the whole mystery. You understand? You understand a little bit? Now, you don't want to do that. Your past is forgiven as far as the east is from the west because of the blood of Christ. The present status is exactly as it should be because of the waters of purification. Future is his total and complete and perfect control because of the Spirit. And those three must agree in one, in earth. Thy kingdom has come now in earth as it is in heaven.
those are the three witnesses that all say the same thing, which is Jesus Christ is coming. Is that what this is?
That's one way. That's one aspect of it.
Meow.
Now you can be in joy. You don't have to worry about your past, your present, or your future.
Can you enjoy now?
And now you're ready.
The joy light is on.
Right. Now you're ready. Now you're ready. He could come 5 minutes from now and we'd be.
Unless I shake my hand, it falls.
Take it, big guy.